And welcome to this episode of the Connecting Faith to Life podcast. I'm Trey Rhodes, a Connections pastor at Northwood Baptist Church here in North Charleston, South Carolina. In just a few moments, our lead pastor, Dr. Tommy Metter, will be joining the conversation as well. In our crazy and chaotic world, our hope is that these few minutes will help you stop and reflect on your relationship with Jesus as you learn to connect Christ-centered faith to your everyday life. And we are in episode 252 of the Connecting Faith to Life podcast, and they said it wouldn't last.
Well, it's lasted, hasn't it, Pops?
Yes, it has.
I can't believe we're still together.
Yeah, it's amazing.
All your shenanigans.
I am the one. I am the troublemaker in this bunch.
Well,
bunch of two, actually three, you know, when our producer's here. But anyway, thank the Lord for that, and our producer Scott is gone today, so you're the producer today.
Yeah,
Pastor.
I'm managing all the buttons.
Man, it's amazing to watch you do it.
I mean, it's not that bad.
I know, but
there's like four buttons.
It has to be easier than classical piano.
You know, it is a little bit easier than classical piano. There's a little more buttons than classical piano, that's for sure.
I was going to bring a pack of cigarettes with me, though.
And I was gonna not put everybody knows that story, so
I was gonna
be careful
put on
what you're
top,
saying there.
I was going to put on the top and bottom as you did that.
Yeah.
And then make sure you didn't mess up.
That's right. You're referring to the story I tell every time we do a Connect North class.
You know how many times I've heard that story?
Over 7 years, every other month for 7 years. You've heard it a lot.
Yeah, but I still laugh every single time. It's still funny.
I'm glad it's still funny.
Anyway, we won't get into that. But anyway.
I had a piano teacher who was a chain smoker and used cigarettes as a teaching methodology. I would not suggest that.
Yeah, that would be bad.
I'm a piano teacher.
You don't use that methodology.
No. Good. I mean, piano teachers are crazy. I don't think I'm a crazy one. I don't have a couple students, but... one piano teacher I had for a number of years, like he was the old school piano teacher with the ruler, and he would smack your hands.
Wow!
I mean, it's just back then it was just a different. It was wild. And then I had my piano teacher in high school. She was an amazing pianist, and she actually fled here back in the olden days from Cuba.
My heavens.
Escaped communist Cuba.
So
and all
she
that kind of stuff.
She really is the real thing.
I she mean, was the real thing. She passed away not too long ago. She was older when I had lessons with her in high school, but she lived, I mean, she was ancient when she died. 114, 115, I have no idea, 135, something. So
crazy.
That's preacher math. she was about, I don't know, 4'9", 4'10". She spoke good English, but had that heavy accent.
Yeah, yeah.
And when she got upset with the way she would fuss at me, I mean, that little lady, she would, she
you
was
need to,
tough.
You need to tell
she
that
was
story
tough.
Again.
Well, I had some tough piano teachers, that is for sure.
And yet it worked.
I think it did. I was just scared of them, so I just did what they told me, you know? I mean, that's kind of, you know, and that's a good thing to have teachers that you're scared of.
Yeah, I think so. I'm not
kids these
that.
Days, man. I tell you what.
Yeah,
teachers these days. I don't know. Teachers are great. They get your wife's been teaching about a long time. She's a scary teacher.
Well, no, not at all.
I don't know. I bet you
was scary when we homeschooled.
I think Miss Kelly. I know Miss Kelly. You're probably listening. I bet she's got that teacher look and that teacher voice.
She does.
I bet she can
and
get
she's
down
learned
to business.
Talk to them like puppies. So she says down, up, sit.
Yeah,
she uses one word.
I bet she can get things done in the classroom.
Move,
no doubt in my mind.
Walk.
Yeah, so if you're a teacher listening, I know you've got a hard job, and you are appreciated.
We love our teachers. We really do.
Yep. Hey, so, Trey, we are doing something a little bit different today. We have a guest with us. We have a Kevin Cook with us. Kevin, can you say hello
Kevin.
To us?
Hello. Glad to be here. Thanks for having me.
Good job, Kevin. So Kevin is on our team as a resident.
Mm-hmm.
So if you don't know what that is.
Yeah, explain that a little bit.
I'm going to.
Good.
You know what it is, don't you?
I do. But I'm going to let you do it, brother.
Well, good. Thank you. So several years ago, we started a residency program here at Northwood where we are attempting to give young men and young women an opportunity to explore mm-hmm. ministry with us on a staff with us. They get paid very little money. We give them a little stipend every month.
Right.
But in exchange for that little bit of stipend, we get a lot of work out of them.
That's how I was paid, too. But anyway, go ahead. I'm kidding.
Pops, you are so high paid around here. I don't know.
I am. I am thrilled to be here.
That's why
I hang around.
That's right. So, Kevin, for the last almost a year, how long have you been with us now, Kevin?
Since the beginning of September.
Yeah. So in September it'll be a year.
Yeah.
It's a year-long program
mm-hmm.
where we invite people like Kevin in to spend a year with us on our staff, and we try to the best we can to teach them various facets of ministry. Kevin's been in our preaching lab. He's been in our Northwood School of Ministry. He's mm-hmm. worked with our worship leadership a great deal because that's where his real interest is. And he has worked with you, Pops, as with some guest services stuff. We've tried to give him exposure to all of our different areas of ministry over the course of a year. And that's mm-hmm. the goal. Because, you know, when you and I were in seminary coming up, there weren't really such things as residencies.
No, not at all.
It was School of Hard Knocks. And so we went.
You started the lowest possible rung, and you get paid almost nothing.
That's right. Kevin gets paid almost nothing. But
so that hadn't changed.
That hasn't changed.
Yeah.
But for us, you know, I mean, you hoped you would get a job at a church as a part-time youth director or whatever, and then you're just expected to get there and do the job and do it well.
Yep.
In my case, you know, it was a part-time pastor, and I got there with no help and, you know, just trying to figure the thing out. Mm. And so at least with a residency, we are able to give guys like Kevin some training that he's able to sit and learn, and we give him some ministry responsibility, but there's not the pressure of him sitting in the, you know, youth pastor seat
right.
or the worship pastor seat. He's learning, and then hopefully he's going to take what he learns and applies it to the ministry that God calls him to. All the while, he is in this ministry residency program, and he's also earning theological education. So if you're listening, many of you know that we have a Northwood School of Ministry. Our Northwood School of Ministry offers students 20-something hours of master's level seminary credit. And so Kevin has taken pretty much all we offer through that. And once he finishes up with us this semester, mm-hmm. he'll actually start taking classes at Southeastern
wow.
Seminary to finish out.
Yeah, finish
out. He's going to figure mm-hmm. it out too, but he's going to finish out his degree. And Kevin's heart really is in worship leadership. And if you've been around the Northwood family, you see him on stage often. He has been very instrumental in helping us with Northwood Wando Woods in our family of churches. He's actually been there for the last month or so leading worship there. And our goal is to have him become their worship associate pastor along with Buck Browning, who we're hoping will be their lead pastor.
Right.
We're in process of making those things happen right now. And so these two men will be over there leading that church. And so Kevin's had a full year here to train, and he's getting some education, and now he's really going to start putting that in practice
right.
in another church. And we're excited about that.
I want to say this about the residency program here at Northwood, is that we have seen great results from other guys we've had in a residency.
That's right.
I think of Josh, for instance.
Well, and you think about great results. We've had two. We had Josh, and we had...
Yeah, that's all right.
No, we're number two.
Saying,
yes.
But, I mean, I guess my point is, they didn't just come to just... I don't know, get their feet wet, and then they leave and do whatever they want. I mean, they're really getting involved in ministry,
and
we see Josh.
Yeah, Josh was our first resident, and Josh and his wife are looking toward the mission field later on.
Maybe we had other people we called residents.
Well, we've had a lot of interns, and so it's kind of hard to... So you think about internship at Northwood is a little less intensive than residency.
Right.
We've had a ton of interns.
A little less expectations.
Usually those are college students that come in for a semester and
right.
serve with us, or two semesters, whatever, and then they're off. They don't do necessarily the school of ministry or the full-time stuff. But we've had a lot of interns. And so those two levels of ministry training we do with college students and then with
And I do
residents.
Know the difference. I guess I just thought some. Maybe I thought some of that.
Yeah,
but anyway,
it's hard to remember everything.
That's all right. The point is that I think it's a great program, and it's something I hope we continue.
Yeah, really think that in the next few years it's going to grow a lot. We've already have some guys and gals that we think are going to be future residents with us,
wow.
and especially with the family of churches. Our hope is that as God allows us to continue to replant churches, this is going to give us an opportunity to have people ready,
right?
To have a Kevin ready to go when we have that next church that says, hey, will you help us? Yeah, we can send someone like Kevin out because he's been through our residency, he's gotten his education, and we've seen him in action over the past year. He's ready to go. And so this residency is helping us to create a greenhouse, if you will, where we are growing up leaders that we can send out to be a blessing to other churches. That's the goal. So we hope that this thing continues to grow. And next time we might not have one resident. We might have two or three residents at the same time that we're training and equipping and all those kinds of things. And so, yeah. So, Kevin, tell us a little bit of your story. So you are different because you think about our first resident was Josh Martin. Josh Martin came to us fresh out of Charleston Southern. Mm-hmm. He was young and wasn't married. He is now, but just really getting started in life and came and spent a year with us as a resident and did a phenomenal job with us. Kevin's story is a bit different because, Kevin, you came to us out of a career. So talk to us a little bit about that.
Yeah, absolutely. So yes, story is a bit different. I felt the call to ministry later in life when I was 35 and had a full-time career in higher education as an academic advisor, and so which was going really well, moving up the ladder there. And after a couple of conversations with Pastor Randy and with you, next thing I know, I'm quitting my full-time job and working part-time as a ministry resident. So yeah, it's been great.
Thankfully, you have a wonderful wife who was able to help you guys through that.
She stepped in all kind of ways,
Absolutely. So when the opportunity was first presented, to back up, when I was first exploring what vocational ministry would actually look like, I was speaking with Pastor Randy about that, and he gave me some ideas and mentioned the residency and mentioned the school of ministry and presented both of those to my wife, and we had prayed about it and really thought about it, and then we had both decided that if this truly is the call that I feel that I'm being called to, if I'm truly being led towards pastoral ministry, towards vocational ministry, then I really needed just to go all in. Mm-hmm. And the option was there. We were blessed financially with Ariana's job. And so we took that leap of faith, and I decided to go ahead and leave my full-time career that I've been doing for a few years and started the school of ministry and the residency. And it's been going really well. I've really, really enjoyed all of it.
Yeah. So you took this huge step of faith, and you've been in this residency for almost a year now. And so there's two aspects. There's the ministry part where you're serving alongside of us, you're learning, you're growing, and there's the school of ministry part where you're getting the academic side of it. So in the ministry side of it, what are some things that have been really helpful for you as you've been thinking about ministry, what ministry looks like? You're learning ministry in a very specific context. You're learning it at Northwood Baptist. Every church, we talk about this all the time, every church does things different. So you've been learning it in our context, but what have been some big things you've learned over the past year as you've walked through this residency with us?
Yeah, so the great thing about being in the residency, as you mentioned, is the low pressure of opportunities. Yeah. And so just to be a fly on the wall in staff meetings and other meetings has been great. Just seeing a lot of the behind the scenes when it comes to organizational structure of the ministry and what ministries we need to focus more on that to get them up to speed with our mission and vision with the four E's here at Northwood. So seeing that process and how we're handling different ministries to continue to get them on board and how the different ministries are interacting with each other. And then mainly, as you mentioned, with worship, that was really the big push for me for ministry was how can I get more involved in worship? How can I possibly be a worship leader one day? Because that was my initial major at Liberty when I was there, be a worship leader.
Right.
And so doing a lot of that behind the scenes with all the programs that we use, all the technology, running the soundboard and the pro presenter for all the lyrics, all that's a lot. It's quite a lot. And then not only that, but I got the opportunity to add some songs to our catalog, and that ended up being a lot trickier than I thought it would be too. It's way more different than just hearing a song on the radio that you like and wanting to just play that. It's about finding theologically rich songs and the context of the style of worship that we play. You got to take that in consideration. And this being a season of really influential churches out there that aren't necessarily gospel-centered. Mm-hmm. And so picking songs that might not be from some of those controversial churches just to make sure we're not providing any distractions when it comes to worship. And that's a big deal. When someone can't feel like they can open their heart to worship because they're focused on, well, I know this certain church does this song, and so I'm not going to feel led to worship because now all I'm thinking about are the negative things about that. And so learning a lot about how to navigate that and handle those conversations has been really, really insightful for me, for sure.
Yeah. So what do you feel like are some of the new skills that you've developed?
Handling people, for sure. Dealing with difficult conversations and helping to lead those conversations back into gospel-centered, conversation as to maybe let's think about what the reason for the certain conflict is and how we can actually guide it towards to what the root problem is. And it's maybe not always necessarily what it seems to be on the surface. Yeah. And so just learning how to guide those conversations respectfully, but also faithfully as well.
Yeah, yeah. So what's been the biggest surprise to you in the residency? Like, okay, I did not have a clue this happens in ministry, or I did not think this would be an issue. Or so if you could think about some surprises that you've experienced over the last year, can you think of any?
Well, with your love of Chick-fil-A, I thought there'd be more Chick-fil-A.
I'm sorry to let you down,
but,
man.
You know.
We try to do it pretty
big
regular.
Big surprise.
You know? Yeah, I know,
big
right?
surprise there.
Yeah, but unfortunately, it costs money is the problem.
Yeah, that's one. You know, and it costs way more than it used to when I first got here.
I know.
Anyway, go ahead.
I'm sorry. No, get you on a tangent.
Right. Yeah, we get off on Chick-fil-A.
But I would say the big surprises is just how much detail actually goes into decisions that are made.
Yeah.
Nothing is made impulsively. Nothing is just taken lightly. It's let's get the key ministry leaders who are going to be involved in this decision, and let's discuss that. Let's prayerfully discuss that, and before ruling it out. And the great thing about this congregation at Northwood is they thrive on things just rolling out quickly. So that's a great thing.
Yeah.
But just the prayerful consideration that goes in every decision instead of, hey, let's just try this and see if it works.
Yeah.
So I wouldn't say that was necessarily surprising as much as it was, I'm glad that things are done that way because of how quickly things do change around here.
Yeah.
It does make you wonder sometimes.
Right. There's a lot of moving parts, and just because of who we are and what we're trying to accomplish, we move fast. And there's nothing wrong with that.
Right.
But fast and impulsive aren't necessarily the same thing, right? Like, we don't make necessarily impulsive decisions. We think through the decisions, I think, fairly well, and we act upon those decisions quickly, right?
Right.
We're not going to take 6 months to make a decision. We're going to take a few days to make a decision. We're going to think about it and pray about it and have the right conversations, and then we're going to go, right? And that's kind of unique to our culture, because not every church can operate that quickly for a lot of different reasons, whether it's tradition or whatever the case may be. But we're blessed with a congregation that rolls with us pretty well, and that I think in a lot of ways appreciates that we're able to make, you know, fairly good decisions and act on them decisively and not take months to do it. So
and we do have a record of things working. In other words, the way we handle COVID, for instance,
there was
a lot of, you know, ifs, and we didn't know, but once we figured out how to do it, then we rolled, and we just kept the doors open.
Yeah.
You know, it was our goal to keep the doors open, whatever it took.
Yeah. And
anyway, those kind of things. But Kevin, I have a question for you, because, you know, this is an important aspect of every staff that you work with, and that is, in my humble opinion, and I think it's pretty good, I've been in ministry for many, many years, all the way from the mission field in 84 all the way to now. It's difficult to work with other believers. It really is, because every one of them think that they're right, and on the mission field, it's even worse. So we struggle with that. How have you seen the staff and their inner working, and how we deal with that? And is it encouraging to you, or is it something you would like to change, or, you know, just give us some insights into that?
Yeah, for sure. So, oddly enough, even though this is a Baptist church and all the staff members here are of the Baptist faith, there are some things that there are discussions about. Ultimately, all the big theological issues we all agree with, which is great. But I do like the banter that I see.
There's
a lot of banter and a lot of discussion, friendly discussion. But it's great to see a lot of even some disagreements about certain things that are more speculative, not change the dynamic of a relationship or change the dynamic of the workday
at all.
Exactly. It seems it's all more friendly banter, respective of the other person's point of view, because you all respect each other and respect their views and each other's intellect. Mm-hmm. And so I think that helps. It's not, well, I'm right, you're wrong, which has been very encouraging.
Yeah. Well, good. So you think we get along well together, except for, do you think the banter is getting along, or no?
I think the banter is getting along, yes.
Okay.
Depends on the day, I guess.
I've never felt left out. I always stay in my office, and I yell out to the, you know.
You do yell from your office.
Yeah.
This is true.
Well, because I can't get up much.
That's the issue. This is true.
But anyway, the point is that, you know, and they let me do it, and it's hilarious. They'll laugh sometimes. So anyway, and we never mad at each other.
Not usually. So on the other side of what you're doing here, you're in the residency, you're learning about ministry, but you're also doing the school of ministry and getting the academic training. What's that been like? Well, I bet it's, I mean, I'm thinking, right, you're going to answer the question, so I should just let you answer. But I think, right, like coming in at 35 years old and trying to do school again, having to write papers, that was probably a challenge, because it's been quite a while since you've written a paper.
Yes, it's been a little while, being 35 and getting back into the school, but it's been challenging, but in a good way. Seminary is much different than getting your undergraduate degree. Yeah. I felt when I was getting my undergraduate degree, if I had to write a 10 to 15 page paper, I could pull an all-nighter and do a decent job at that and get a good grade. But for writing papers for the Northwood School of Ministry, it's, I actually have to put a little more thought into it to actually, to make it even sound halfway decent.
Yeah.
And I feel like I miss the mark sometimes on a few of my papers, but I'm learning. And I think you and Pastor Logan have done a really great job of leading these classes,
Amen.
Teaching them, especially them being more discussion-based since there's only one or two of us in each class.
That's right.
And that's been very helpful for me, that I have the opportunity to ask more questions, to get more clarification, instead of an online setting or in a huge classroom setting where I just have to listen to a lecture and not get any clarification on that.
Yeah.
So the School of Ministry has been a great introduction for me in the seminary. Because I know as I start with Southeastern this fall, which I got accepted in last week, so I'm very excited about that. But I know once I get started with that, the dynamic is going to be a little different.
Yeah.
So I'm going to try and take advantage of the time that I have left to continue to learn more, ask more questions, and hopefully still rely on some help when I'm at Southeastern.
Yeah, absolutely, you'll get help. So you think about the School of Ministry, the experience you've had. What has been most challenging about doing the School of Ministry?
All the reading.
There's lots of reading.
Getting
an academic, degree, especially a seminary degree, there's so much. There's cover. You've had to do a lot of reading.
Right, and it's not just the amount of reading. It's the material is written by experts in their field.
Yeah.
And sometimes they use really big words.
And
smart words that I have to look up.
Or just present things that you really haven't thought about before.
Exactly. Just using new terminology and new ways of thinking. So that's probably the most difficult part. But the nice thing is you and Pastor Logan take the time to explain what I'm reading, which has been really great. So I'll read it, and then we'll discuss that. And then that helps shed some light on what I'm actually reading. It helps me retain that a little bit.
Yeah. So you think about School of Ministry. What has been your favorite part of the School of Ministry? Me. Professor Tommy.
Well, I mean, I'm not trying to butter anybody up, but getting to know you and Pastor Logan on a different level.
It's been great
getting to know you guys.
Yeah, we're very laid back and very casual. I mean, very academically rigorous, I hope, but at the same time, it's just fun. Yeah. So, here you are, and you've had these two experiences of ministry training and also some academic education that you're going to continue to pursue. And then in the middle of that, I mean, the whole thing kind of took a turn that we didn't expect to turn when you start, right? Like, you're actually going to end up leaving Northwood.
Right.
If all goes according to plan, and go to our sister church, Northwood Wando, and do ministry there. So talk to us about that. Talk to us how you felt the Lord leading you in that direction. Other than me coming in your office and say, hey, Kevin, you're going.
Right. Well, that whole turn was unexpected. Even when I entered in the residency, I didn't quite know what vocational ministry was really going to look like for me, because Northwood has a worship leader. They've got a great worship leader in Jared. So I didn't have any thoughts that, I'm going to take over as the worship leader or anything like that. So I didn't know where the Lord was going to lead me, or if maybe I'd do the residency in the School of Ministry and then maybe somewhere down the road start entering into vocational ministry. Mm-hmm. I thought there might be a chance that I'll go back to my, my career in higher education. And so when we started the meetings with Wando Woods and you asked me to go to those meetings, I actually thought, like, hey, this is part of the residency to get to see behind the scenes how these meetings go. And then after things started to roll around, and even when I stepped foot on in the Wando Woods in their sanctuary for the first time, I don't know, it could have just been an emotional feeling, but I was like, man, I could really see myself here. Mm. And even though that it's not what I actually thought that I was there for, I thought I was there just to learn how these meetings are to go.
Yeah.
And so as I started to think about that more, and then as we started going over there more, I thought, man, I really feel like I could see myself here at Wando Woods. Not sure in what capacity, but I really liked the idea of replanting and bringing a church back to life. And for a church that was a thriving church back in the day is now struggling and is reaching out for help and realizing that they need help. So that became a real a real desire for me.
Yeah.
And then after a few months, you had approached me and asked if that would be something I could consider. I really didn't have much thought about it at all. I was thinking, okay, this is definitely a confirmation that this is where I need to go. And so, brought that to my wife. We prayed about it for a while before we made any sort of decision, even though we both felt that this was the direction that I would be going in. And so it was a big surprise, but it was a pleasant surprise.
That's good, man. That's good. Well, we're real proud of you. I mean, it's been obvious that Lord's been at work in you, and you've just come a really long way, and I'm very excited for you. And so, Pops, you think about this whole residency thing. The reason why I wanted us to have this conversation is because I want you to know that this is an option, right? Like, well, for you, Pops, for you, not for you so much, as our audience, right?
I got you.
Yeah, I was looking at you, and you thought, you're past residency.
You said Pops, though.
I know, I did.
Go ahead, brother.
Yeah, what I was trying to say was that if you're listening and you're part of our faith family, or even if you're not part of our faith family, this is something we do. We help to train up ladies and gentlemen for that next season of ministry, right? And so if you're interested, and a lot of times it's going to be obviously college students are graduating and getting ready to go to seminary and they want to take a year to figure things out before whatever.
Yeah.
But a lot of times it might also be a case like Kevin, who, a little bit later in life and thinking, I feel this call of God in my life. Can you help me to explore this call? We have an avenue for that. And we're not the only church doing that. There are actually several churches in our city doing that. Mm-hmm. And so one of our goals is to come alongside some of these other churches and collaborate together more. There are probably some things in this residency that we could do together,
Sure. Give
some theological education together or whatever, and still have some facets of the ministry that are specific to that individual church. So all that to say, we're not the only church in the city doing this. And I think as the years go on, this is going to become a more strategic way
that we train
up future pastors, because it's within the context of a local church. We'll always need seminary. Seminary is helpful because you have the experts in the field, the academics, and we need to learn from the academics so we can know how, to understand the Greek or to understand church history or to understand various doctrines. We need the academics. But people like me and you, Pops, and Kevin, we're going to be in the local church. And so to have some training actually within the local church to prepare you for being a pastor in the local church is very helpful. So I think this is going to be a very viable way forward for our churches as we seek, innovative ways to help the next generation of pastors succeed in ministry. So I'm very excited for Kevin, and I'm excited for this new season of ministry that God has for him, and I'm excited that God is allowing us to have an opportunity to invest into guys like Kevin for the sake of the gospel and for the glory of his kingdom as they go out into ministry.
The beauty of this residency program, and any residency program that does this, is that in reality, seminary is training us for something different. Seminary is training us how to preach. Seminary is training us to get into the Greek. Seminary is training us for church history and all those things, which are wonderful things, and we need to have that background and we need to know. But it really is the ministry of the local church, like Northwood, to pour into these guys to say, hey, this is how, let me say it this way, this is a way that is working, that works here in our community and with our people. This is how it works. And I think the residency program is able to do that and kind of fill in a gap that the seminary really has not done. Excuse me, Brother Danny Aiken, I know you're listening, but seminary has not done as good a job, let me put it that way.
Yeah.
Because they're more in the academics and everything else. They're doing what they should be doing.
Yeah.
But I think the local church can't just step out and say, okay, they came out of seminary, they're ready to roll.
Right. It takes collaboration between the seminary and local church to make it work well, and that's what we're trying to do.
Amen.
So, it's a good thing.
Right. If I could add to that, I think coupling the residency with the Northwood School of Ministry like we've been doing is extremely beneficial, because I'm learning the academic portion of it through the Northwood School of Ministry, but I actually get a chance to apply that in real life in the residency at the same time. So having both the residency and the Northwood School of Ministry together has been very beneficial.
Yeah.
I think it's genius.
Yeah, I do too. And that's you think about the Northwood School of Ministry.
Yeah.
We do that in partnership with our seminaries. Mm-hmm. Our seminaries, we report to them, that Logan and I have the credentialing, right? Where, Logan's close to being a doctor. I do have a PhD, so we have the academic credentialing to be able to do that. Then we have someone like Jonathan Watson, Dr. Watson, who comes along and bolsters that academic credentialing as well by overseeing it a bit. And so it's not like Kevin's getting a watered down education.
No,
he's getting you know,
he's getting the real deal.
He's getting academic,
yeah,
you know, teaching from guys that are credentialed in their fields and that are helping him to think critically through ministry. So it's a really good thing. So I'm excited for you, Kevin. I'm glad you've been a resident. I'm looking forward to seeing who the next residents are going to be, and I'm looking forward to seeing how God's going to use Kevin at Wanda Wood. So pray for him and pray for Buck as they look toward leading that church.
Well, Kevin, thank you for being a part. We appreciate you coming sitting in with us, and I look forward to what the Lord's going to do with you on.
So thank you very much. I really appreciate it.
All right. Well,
Pastor, go ahead and close us out and get us ready for next week.
I hope today's episode has been a blessing and an encouragement to you. And if it has been, I hope that you'll go ahead right now and hit that subscribe button so you can have new content delivered to your device every single week. Leave us a 5-star review. That helps us to get word out about our podcast. And as always, we hope today's episode has helped you connect faith to life.